how we long for you. All the Father's given us, Lord, you're our Christmas. We lift our hands unto the sky in sweet anticipation now, calling you from earth below, singing, come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, don't delay, return and steal your bride away. Our hearts are burning with desire to love the flame of holy fire. We're waiting, Lord, our eyes are fixed on you. Oh, yes, we're watching, Lord. Anticipation now, calling you from earth below, singing, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, don't delay, return and steal your bride away. Our hearts are burning with desire, with love the flame of holy fire. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, don't delay, return and steal your bride away. Our hearts are burning with desire, with love the flame of holy fire. We're waiting, Lord, our eyes are fixed on you. Thank you. King, Lord, we know you're coming
Well, good evening, folks. Can you hear me? Am I coming in all right? I hope I'm coming in okay for you to hear me. I'm so excited that you could join me tonight. All right, so let's start the evening here with some prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray right now for everyone that is listening. Lord God, that if they need healing in their bodies, that even as they hear the word tonight and hear the words that I speak, they will be challenged and encouraged and determined and diligently will receive from you and get into your word and speak your word and receive their healing. And Father, even tonight, I pray you would touch people. Everyone that's listening, that everyone that listens in tonight, every single one, whether they actually, Lord, whether they listen in tonight or at some other time, that you would touch them in their bodies, their minds, that they would be healed. Whatever the situation is, Lord, that you would heal them right now from the very youngest to the oldest. And if a whole family is listening in, then everyone in that family, I pray you would heal each and every one of them. Lord, this is my desire, my prayer this evening, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you can hear me. On this side, it doesn't seem like I'm coming through, but I'm trusting that it is. So tonight, we will be going over some healing scriptures. They have been proven to be effective. And they've been proven to be effective for ages and ages. And I believe the Lord has shown me a few things about healing and maybe some new insight into these verses and passages. I have been digging deeper into the healing scriptures, about 2 months. And almost daily, and I've been working on it and studying it and looking into the meanings of words and all that. And I am not done yet either, so let's begin. First thing I would like to say is that what we need for healing, are you ready for this, has already been given. Most people do not want to hear this because, it means that some action may be required on their part. Well, what action, you say? Simply enforcing the word of God in your life. We will be coming back to this verse, but think carefully about this verse, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the ultimate price for our salvation. Healing was and is included in that. As I have been studying these verses, it has become very clear to me that if we want to be healed, we have to engage the enemy. We must engage the enemy. Because the other side of that is Do you think we're going to walk in and take what God has given us without him fighting us over it? I've never seen it happen yet on very rare occasions. But there are times, as all of us know, where out of desperation, God will just come in and do a sovereign thing and heal someone. But often a battle ensues and they will have to fight for a season to maintain that healing. So before we get into our scriptures, I want to really provoke you. Yeah, you heard me right. I said I want to provoke you. And I said that because what we need for healing has already been given to us. It is in our spirit. We need to take hold of the healing scriptures and enforce them. I am doing this teaching tonight, and I am the one who needs healing in my body in a certain area. Well then, how can I teach this when I need healing? Well, why wouldn't I? I have to fight for my healing just like anyone else does. So before you get out of this show, please stay with me. It will encourage you to believe God. So our first scripture that I want to emphasize tonight, and I believe we'll go through a lot of scriptures, but there, I think, are 10 focal ones, I should say. First one's Exodus 15:26, and this actually is a springboard for all of them, believe it or not, because it has some very, very important things in here that if we will do these things and if we will heed what the Word says, it will not just change our lives in the area of healing, but our overall walk with God. So Exodus 15:26, unless otherwise stated, all the verses tonight are from King James. Exodus 15:26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, 1, 2, and wilt give ear to his commandments, 3, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. See, we have to believe that he is the Lord who heals. So many times we think he heals somebody else, but he won't heal us. Or, God, why did you let that happen? You know, I prayed for somebody and they died. Or, you know, I'm near death now. I don't have all the answers. I just know that the Word of God works. And I have proven it many, many times for many, many, many years. And I've come to see, and I've told you all this before in previous sessions that we've had here, is that if anything evil happens, it is never God's fault. So tag the blame on the enemy, but never tag it on God. God is not the author of evil. Now let's look at this. Diligently hearken. I think this is actually three things. 1, diligently, which means with all my heart, wholeheartedly and persistently. Hearken is to listen to, hear, pay close attention to. Diligently hearken to and do whatever is right, listen to and obey and keep. These can be summed up by two little words, listen and obey. Obey, obedience, it's a good thing. So many of us have come to hate that word, but hold on. When we obey the Word of God, when we obey his voice, when we obey, hearken, and move on what his Word tells us, we will be rewarded. We just have to stick with it. Okay, the second one, Exodus 23:25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Okay, now see, I'm not saying those are the first two in the Bible, But the first two I've gone over tonight, those are promises. He says, one, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Two, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. God said he will take sickness away from the midst of us. He'll take it away. This was in early Old Testament times. He said he will. But at the cross, he did. He'll take it away. He will remove it. And he did take it away. And he did remove it. I get the impression here that it's like, okay, you have it. You're struggling with it. But I will remove it, take it away from where it is in you, in the midst of you, in the very core of you. The third one, Deuteronomy 7:15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. See, now there it is. There it is again. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all of them that hate thee. Now the King James here refers to the diseases of Egypt as evil diseases. Well, diseases are evil. They did not and they do not come from God. Nothing evil comes from God. Nothing. James 1:17 tells us that good things come from God. Here, let me read that. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So anything evil in any way, shape, or form comes from the devil and his minions. God does not put evil diseases on us. They are the evil diseases of Egypt. And today, well, before I go on, let me say this. The Egypt is a type of the world. So you could also say they are the evil diseases of the world. And today they are the evil man-made diseases of demonic people in the world. The evil diseases of Egypt, or invented diseases, God will not put on us. He will not put on us evil diseases, evil sicknesses, evil maladies, evil abnormalities, anything like that, any evil conditions. They're all evil and God doesn't do it. If we currently find ourselves struggling with a malady, a disorder, sickness, disease, etc., let me remind you again, God did not do it. He is a good God. Why would a good God do that? To answer this more, we will continue because the scriptures will clearly show us what we haven't seen before. So whatever diseases, sicknesses, malady, abnormality, condition, you can put the name of it right here that you may be struggling with. Rest assured, God did not do it. Now, I know I've had people go, well, you know, blah, 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 my so and blah, 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 so died. And I prayed and God didn't heal that person. So God did it and he took that person away from me. But see, that is all lies from the devil, every last bit of it. God didn't do that at all. There are dynamics that none of us can explain and know. But one thing's for sure, if you're not born again, the enemy has the right to take you out. If you're not walking in the word, the enemy has half of a reason to take you out. But if you're in the word, you're born again, you're standing on his promises, sometimes he can take you out. But the other side of that is that you have to believe that he will heal you, that his word is truth, and that his word will get you through this, which I can show you more of that as we go on here. But there it is again. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 2. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now see, I keep hearing that, hearken. That means to listen. That means to hear his voice. That means to hear him. But there it is again, hearken diligently to. Both verses have that same word. It would seem that if we want to receive from the Lord, then it begins with believing him and listening to his voice. This passage of the blessings which the Lord will give us, which shall come upon us, extends to verse 14. For the sake of time, I will not be able to read verses 1 through 14, but you can go read them for yourselves, which I highly recommend that you do. It says that everything that we do and set our hands to will be blessed, proper. All that, he will properly do that. In other words, how should I say this? In everything that we do and set our hands to do will be blessed. It will prosper. All that he asks is that we hearken to, listen to diligently, day after day, his voice. All that he has and does tell us to do, since we are no longer under the law, the Ten Commandments. We are, however, under and living in his mercy and grace. We are not bound. We are free. We're free to listen to and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. I know there are some of you thinking right now, why am I on this thing about listening to his voice? What does that have to do with healing? Because, dear brothers and sisters, here we go. This is where it gets good. Let me ask you this question. What is his voice? Think about that. Well, listen to his voice. Well, that's what, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years ago? Can you hear his voice from way back then? Well, then, what is his voice? How do I hear that about that stuff and the blessing and cursing? How do I hear all that? How do I hear this in the Word? What do you mean? Well, it can be the still small voice of the Holy Spirit telling us that we need to cut or add something to our diet. Maybe we need to not go to a certain place that day. Maybe we need more rest. It can and is when we read the Word of God. It can be. It can be, and it often is when we read the Word of God. The words in this Bible are manifested truth. In other words, they have been proven. They have a common word that we use today about children misbehaving. We say they're acting out. But the words in the Bible are continually acting out. They're not misbehaving. I'm not comparing that part to a child, but they're continually acting out. They're continually manifesting. I don't see that little boy healed of leprosy on the other side of the world that God just healed. I don't see that little girl in Haiti that was sick and about to die, and a man of God or a woman of God laid their hand on them and they got healed. I don't see that mom praying over the dad or the dad praying over the mom who's about to die, and God turned it around and 3 days they get off the sick bed healed. I didn't see that, but see, God did. And that is his word acting out, because somebody believed him, believed his word, and they got it inside of them, and in an instant they believed him and it came through. Healing broke forth. Because you know what? They are his words. They are, in essence, Him speaking to us. Study it. Immerse yourself in it. It will, I repeat, it will speak to you. When it does, it is His voice coming back to you. An example of this is when I read John 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And also 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Here we have the word of the Lord telling us that by His stripes we were healed. Did you see that? It did not say, well, you will be later on. Well, by and by. Well, you are going to be healed. No, it didn't say that. It's past tense. It says were. Not might happen in the future, but were. Listen to that verse. Read it over and over and over again until it takes up residence inside of you. I have proven that when you ingest the Word of God and read it over and over, especially a particular verse or passage, something begins to happen on the inside of you. This brings me back to what I said earlier about everything we need. It's already been provided. Everything, the problem is that we become spiritually lazy. I'm going to repeat that. The problem is that if we become spiritual lazy, we are living and walking in unbelief. James 1, 6 and 7 says that if we do that, we receive absolutely nothing from the Lord. I'll read that to you. James 1, verse 6 and 7. Excuse me. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. It is work and diligence to speak the words of Scripture over ourselves or our loved ones until we see the results. But the end result is good. So don't give up and cease and stop speaking the Word of God over your situation or sickness just because after a few days you don't see anything happen. The enemy knows you and he knows me. He knows, you know, he knows the end of our patience. Well, you know, I waited 3 days, nothing happened. Moving on now. No, you do that and you won't get anything. You got to keep on and keep on and keep on. And then it's like, you know, you hear this, you've heard where they take a sledgehammer and they go beat on a rock. Nothing at all happens. Nothing. Well, they beat and they beat. Weeks go by and they keep beating on the rock. And finally, there's a crack. Because what happens is the integrity and the strength inside that rock eventually will break. And it will crack. And just like any stubborn evil disease that we may be dealing with, you put the fire of God's word on that thing, and I tell you what, you keep at it and it will break. The integrity, or let's say the lie of it, will have to succumb to the word of God. So don't give up and not speak the word over your situation anymore. This could include an injury where you need to be healed or healed from the results of it, a surgery gone wrong. Maybe it is for your child, your baby. Nothing will grab a mother's heart tighter than her child. You can pray over your children. You can hold that baby, even the baby is in the hospital. You know, when my youngest daughter, when her oldest child was born, I went out there to be with her. And I knew, and she called me, I think it was a little over 2 months, way too early. And I got out there, and I tell you what, that little girl weighed 3 pounds and what, 7 ounces when she was born. And you talk about a walk of faith. She was so tiny. I mean, I have never seen a baby that little in my whole life. Of course, there was one smaller than her next to her in the NICU there at the hospital. And it was a walk of faith. My daughter and I, we just prayed every day over her. We held her, even though she was all hooked up to tubes. They gently let me hold her, and I put my hand gently on her forehead, and I prayed over her, and I said, "Devil, you are not having this child. Get your hands off of her. She belongs to Jesus. Get out of here. This child will live and not die." Today, she is a healthy 6-year-old. So, you know, don't give up. You sit there and think, well, it looks so hopeless. It's not hopeless. I mean, this little baby girl, she had jaundice and other little things come up, and her breathing and different things happened, and nope, wouldn't hear it. I wouldn't hear it. I told my daughter, nope, we're not hearing it. Nope, we're not hearing it. God has his hand on this baby, and she will live and not die, and she will grow up. And she is a blessing to us today, and it just proves that God loves babies, and he will take that child. You pray over that. You put your hand over that baby's head, and you say, "In Jesus' name, I speak to you." And if there's any infection or disease in your baby, you go, "You get out of my baby now in Jesus' name." This baby will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Psalm 118, verse 17. So you take heart. God's word works from the youngest to the oldest. And another thing, since we are on this about his voice, remember, his voice is the word of God in your spirit coming back to you over and over. He is speaking that to you because he knows that if you get it, your faith in his word will explode in what you have believed him for, excuse me, will manifest. An example partly of this is Romans 10:17. I think we covered that earlier. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember how we said that we need to listen? Well, we need to listen and hear his voice, his word. Many years ago in Bible school, Pastor and I learned that where it says hearing and hearing, that it literally means it has no end. In other words, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, etc., ad infinitum. In other words, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word for the rest of your life. Faith comes for the rest of your life by hearing and hearing the word of God over and over and over. You know what? I've done that, and I do not get tired of the word. I treasure it. I know that it is life to me. And I know that it will bring me out of anything I'm in that I need to get out of. And so when I listen and hear the word, this is hearkening to and listening to and obeying his voice. And then hearing it over and over and over and over and over, you would begin to say it over and over and over and over. You will get it in your spirit. You will believe it. Faith will explode on the inside of you, and you will see God show up in your life and in the life of the loved one that you might be praying and standing in for. All of this really rests on first, I suppose this is how I should have started out tonight. First, one, by believing him that he is real. Two, that he is there. Three, he rewards those who diligently seek him. Seek him. And we find that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I'll quote that to you now. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see that? All things pertaining to God and his word, they must be obtained by diligence and by force. I don't can't look that verse up right now, but it comes to me that, you know, that we take the kingdom of heaven by force. In other words, we go in and we take it, and we don't take no for an answer is what that means. So you see that? We first must believe that he is, and then that he rewards them who diligently seek him. Number five, Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 to 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. There are blessings and curses. I'm sorry to say that about the curses, but, you know, sin still reigns in this world. And as long as it does, there will be curses. It's unavoidable. But we don't have to speak them, and we don't have to live in them, and they don't have to live in our house or in us or in our lives. They can be broken in Jesus' name. Blessings are life. Curses are death. God is telling us, excuse me, to choose the blessings, to choose life. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, tells us how that everything we need has already been provided. It tells us where it is at, right here. Here it is, right here. In case you're saying, well, I don't know what you're saying that. I don't know about that now. Well, it says it right here, Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. The word of God is in our mouth, and in it is in our heart. We are, we are without excuse. If it is in us, then we must appropriate it. Blessings of the Lord, he clearly says, aren't in heaven. What? They aren't in heaven where they aren't able to be reached. They aren't across the sea where they are too far away to get to and obtain. How can that be? Well, let's look at this passage in context. Deuteronomy 30, verses 10 through 14. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Excuse me. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. You see that? It's not somewhere else where you can't get to it or too hard to get to. He said, it's right there in your mouth. So what do you need? Well, I don't have enough food to make it through the week. Well, just start saying, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I just thank you right now for food. I just thank you for providing for us right now, Lord. I just thank you for bringing food. I don't care if you have to send a bird to drop it on our doorstep. But I thank you, Lord, for providing food and taking care of us. And, you know, you just keep doing that. Go and look up words on provision and speak those and just thank the Lord. Start thanking him. Sometimes I've received things just simply by thanking the Lord. We have to have a grateful heart, a thankful heart. Blessings of the Lord and even our healing is in our mouth. What are we speaking over the situation? Verse 14 says that the word is very nigh and near unto us. What word? The word is very nigh us, even in our mouth. What word? Okay, go back to verse 11. He says, this commandment. What commandment? Verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. What is it that we are wanting to see here? The law for us had been fulfilled in Christ. The commandments are fulfilled in Christ. The word, all that God tells us, all that is revealed to us in our Bibles is his word. The word, it is not hidden or unobtainable. It's not too far away. It's in our mouth and in our heart. Well, I don't know what word to speak. Well, then get out the Bible and go to the concordance. Go online to BibleGateway.com. Type in believe in God or believe and things like that, and type them in, and you'll get scriptures and start speaking them over yourself. What would you rather speak over yourself? Well, I got that thing. Maybe I'm going to die like everybody else. See, that's speaking a death. That's speaking a curse. You don't want to die, so don't speak that over yourself. Well, what does it mean in verse 10 to keep his commandments and statutes? We are not under the law. They and we are not able to keep the law. Did you know that? Not even the Ten Commandments. Oh, now listen. Jesus said that the law is given for, you know, those that don't believe. But we're not under the law. Not even the Ten Commandments. Did you know that no one has ever been able to keep them? Why? Because sin reigns in this world. Well, that's not true. That's not true. It's good that you post the Ten Commandments. I wish they were posted everywhere, because that is the law, and that brings, the law will bring a person to repentance. That's why it's necessary. It's made for those that don't know the Lord. It reminds children. Children need to be under the law until they come into the full knowledge of Christ. Otherwise, they're going to do things that, well, why can't I do that? Because. And then give them one of the commandments. If you don't believe me about this, I tell you what. Go back and read them, all Ten Commandments, and you ask yourself if you have ever disobeyed this one or that one. I bet you can't. Then test yourself. See if you can make it a week without breaking even one of them. You know what? It won't happen. No one has ever been able to keep the law. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. So the word is near to us, nigh to us. How do we do this? God said, hearken to his voice, to keep his commandments, his word, to turn to him with all our heart. Again, this takes us back to Exodus 15:26. Hearken, listen to his voice. Have we missed something on healing? Would it involve hearing and listening to him? See, that's the big thing I wanted to get across tonight. Did we miss something all these years about healing? Well, you just go and speak the word and it'll be done. Well, it's true. That works. It does. But would it be that we have not spoken in and savored it? Have we not embraced it as we should? Think again about what we read earlier in Romans 10:17, where faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In the New Covenant, in these New Testament days, in these days of grace, in Christ, we see that he says, if you will listen to, pay attention to, take heed to his voice and his word, and turn to him with our whole heart, he will put no evil diseases of the world upon you or me. Any of us. He won't do it. He just promised that. But wait. There is a New Testament verse that brings this all into perspective. Because, well, you know, you're giving me stuff from the Old Testament. Well, you know, the Old Testament is going to confirm the new, and the new is going to confirm the old. It always does. In the New Covenant, in these New Testament days, it confirms these words that I want to read you from Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, didn't we just read that in the Old Testament? Yeah, we sure did. And Paul was, in a sense, he was quoting that. Because, see, Paul knew the law. He knew what the Old Testament said. He was raised in it. He was immersed in it. He was buried in the law. And when he came out of it, that's why he makes such a big deal all the time in what he writes about the law. Because he saw what it did. He blew it a few times. He shouldn't have gone back at one time or another. But he found out that the law kills. If you live under it, there's no life in that. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament say the same thing. They will always back each other up and support each other. They agree with each other. So the word is very nigh and near to us. It is even in our mouth. The word of faith, the blessings of the Lord, life and health, or curses and death. Which will it be? If we speak blessings and life, then curses and death cannot live in us. Neither can evil diseases. The key is in our mouths. So what are we speaking over our lives? So let's move over now to a few New Testament verses, beginning with Romans 8:11. Number 6, Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So we have been seeing how that what we have been saying, and if we are pushing into God's word and are beginning to speak his holy words over ourselves and situations, then we can have the miracle we so desire. If we are near to death and have had that spoken over us, we could very possibly see that situation turned around. We first need to break any curses anyone has spoken over us. He can quicken our mortal physical bodies. Quicken literally means to make alive. He can bring life back into our bodies. We speak his words over our bodies. Then it will not be in vain. Hold on here. Let me get a drink of water. another thing about the word quicken is that it will be, it's almost like quicken means to come upon or to happen suddenly. It can be a suddenly, but it may not be a suddenly, but it will be. It will be. Quicken means that it will make alive. So we speak his words over our body, then it will not be in vain. He can bring life back into our bodies. And you say, well, you know, I told you I've been doing this now for 3 days and nothing's happened. You've only just gotten started. That's not the time to give up. You know, I just said that we speak his words over our body and it will not be in vain. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The word that goes forth out of his mouth will not return void. But don't you think that if we speak his word, the same results would occur? Absolutely. Let's go to number 7. Now we can see that the Bible says more about what we speak and that we should speak the right way. Let's look at two very similar passages. The first one is in Matthew 21:21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now, in Mark 11:23-24, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. In both passages, the mouth is engaged. You notice that? We need to speak to these evil diseases and tell them to get up and get out of us. They need to be made to bow to the word of God. They need to know that we are the Lord's, that our bodies belong to the Lord, that we belong to God, and that we have authority over them, the enemy. Our bodies belong to the Lord, to him only, and to us. And evil diseases are not welcome and have no place in us. Excuse me. Number 8, and now see what Mark 16:18 and Luke 10:19 says. Ooh, this is good. I just thought this was so powerful. Listen to this. Mark 16:18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Tread on, walk on, stomp on serpents, take up certain serpents. This has a spiritual meaning. No, it doesn't mean to go pick up stakes just to prove that you have faith. That is nonsense. Take up serpents. I studied this one time. It literally means to reach out, to reach in and pull out the snake. It is a form of deliverance. Of course, there are satanic practices in some parts of the world where they literally just put their hands into someone and remove cancers. Usually the person dies, but that is not what this verse means. It literally means to grasp that devil, that serpent by the neck, and cast it out. People of God, this is war. We live during a time of man-made diseases and plagues. If we do not enforce God's word, we won't make it through. The times we are in are meant to destroy all of humanity. Satan hates us, despises us. Way, way, way back, he saw that God loves us and that God loved us more than him. So he rebelled. So when we see how that God so loved the world, we should be so humbled that for literal millennia, God has loved the human race. If you start to think about it, it's almost more than we can comprehend. Now, he wants us to win. He wants us to tread on serpents and to walk on water. I don't know if I ever shared this with you, but I found this story one time many years ago that really says it all. And I think you will get the picture. But right now, I feel prompted to just stop right where I'm at, even though I have a little ways to go, and just give a short little mini sermon in the middle of this one about sickness and its roots. Sickness has its roots. Its roots can be many things. You can be born with evil diseases that you don't even see until, and you're in your 30s, and then they start manifesting. Well, that's because you inherited something. It's something that you inherited. God didn't do it. But you can break those curses and those evil soul ties that were made way back in your family and break them and tell them they have to come out of you and to go in Jesus' name. There are many things that are the cause of diseases that people have. It can be curses. It can be inherited DNA and in genes. It can be all of those things and more. It can be, you know, you were in the wrong place at the wrong time and some waitress didn't like you and she waited on you and went back in there and said, I pray you get just as sick as my dad did. And suddenly you find yourself sick and you don't know what's going on. Well, somebody cursed you. That's why we have to always make sure that, you know, we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. Blood is so important. Cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. Don't go, I plead the blood. You don't have to plead the blood. You cover yourself with the blood. Pleading the blood is like you're begging and, God, I cry out, please cover this place with the blood. No, you have that right. You just say, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. There are certain places that we go in town that when we go in there, we'll go, okay, just before we get out of the car, pastor will say, well, I just cover Linda and I with the blood of Jesus right now. As we go into this place, thank you, Lord, that no evil will befall us and we break any curses they might try to put on us in Jesus' name. We go on about our business. The roots of sickness can be in you got something from someone. Maybe you inherited it, but unbelief has become so big that you have nursed that thing like a grudge, and you can't let go of it. You get a lot of energy. You get a lot of attention from lifting that thing up. Excuse me. And when you lift that thing up, you give it place. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. Father, right now, before I continue on with the word here, Lord, I just want to pray right now for every person out there that struggles with sickness or any kind of condition or malady or abnormal condition or issue, sickness, evil disease. Lord, I pray right now that you would, I just stretch out my hand right now, Lord, that you would heal every one of them and make your word so big and so real to them, Lord. Make it so real, Lord, so that they believe you and that they can see the word of God come to pass in their lives. I just speak to this woman who may be listening right now. I heard about her, may be listening. She has a baby that's in the hospital. The baby was born 2 months early. I guess the baby has, if I'm not mistaken from what I was told, an RSV. Now, in Jesus' name, little one, I speak across the miles over there to where you are in that hospital. And in Jesus' name, you RSV devil, you get out of that baby's lungs and out of that child. And all sickness and disease, you get up right now and come out of that baby and you leave in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that little one, that this little baby will just live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Grow up to be a strong and healthy child and will love the Lord all the days of his, her life. And Lord, I just thank you for healing her right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' holy name. Now I'm going to be praying again in a few minutes, but I want to read this little story to you. This is just amazing. It's called The Serpent's Venom. Have you ever heard it before? It's just a short little story. So it's this farmer or this shepherd said this. Rattlesnake bit one of my sheep in the face about a week ago. Deadliest snake that lives around here. The sheep's face swelled up and hurt her terribly. But the old rattlesnake didn't know the kind of blood that flows through the sheep. Anti-venom is most often made from sheep's blood, which I didn't know that. The sheep swelled for about 2 days, but the blood of the lamb destroyed the venom of the serpent. I was worried, but the sheep didn't care. She kept on eating, kept on drinking, and kept on climbing because she knew she was all right. Often the serpents of this life will reach out and bite us. They inject their poison into us, but they cannot overcome the blood of the Lamb of God that washes away the sin of the world and the sting of death. Don't worry about the serpent or his bite. Just make sure that the Lamb's blood is flowing through your veins. Excuse me. Now, do you see how important that is? I mean, I had no idea that snake venom was made out of sheep's blood. And sheep blood is an antidote for a serpent's bite. So the blood of the lamb is the antidote for the devil's bite on us. Think about that. Just think about that. The blood of the lamb is the antidote. It destroys the serpent's bite, his poison, his attacks, his evil. Well, I'm fighting this, or I'm fighting this terrible disease that I got, blah, blah, blah. Well, start saying, I just cover myself with the blood of the Lamb. I thank you, Lord, that the antidote for this sickness is the blood of the Lamb and the word of God and the word of my testimony. And I just thank you, Lord, that I'm speaking your word over this. And the blood of the Lamb in me will win in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And just keep saying that, speaking that over yourself. Just don't give up. That's the thing. That's what I want you to remember tonight. Just don't give up. You know, there were times in my life that I what comes to my mind is don't remember the year, but it's been about 30 years ago, 30 or 40 years ago. My entire young adult life, my whole youth was riddled with colds. I used to get colds, every twice a year, strep throat twice a year. I was always sick, and I hated it. And that was before I knew about what I know now. But actually, I was just beginning to come into it. And I was beginning to get the bulldog attitude that if I could get a hold of this word, that I wasn't going to let go of it. So I got a real bad cold. I mean, the kind that I had to be in bed. It was awful. And the girls, they came in and they made little get-well cards for Mom and said, Mama, I love you. I'm so sorry you're sick. I feel so sorry for you. And I just sat there like my mouth just, I couldn't believe it. I heard it for the first time. I thought to myself, this is why I'm getting sick. Because if you're getting sick all the time and you're holding on to everybody having pity for you and feeling sorry for you, you like that. And if you like that, sickness has a right to stay right there. So I just said, honey, I thank you for loving your mama so much, but just love me and pray for me. But, you know, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself, and I don't want you to feel sorry for me unless you do in your heart, but don't speak it because I don't want the wrong attention. I want to be well. Well, what happened? I got well. And then, this is just how nasty the devil is. It wasn't 2 months later or something like that, which was unusual for me. But I got the whole thing all over again. And it was awful. But this time, I'd already seen, and the devil was going to test me, I think, to see if I was going to do what I said. So I just said, no, girls, thank you for these cards and these kind words. By his stripes, I am healed. And I affirm my healing. I rejected any attention-getting, self-pity. I rejected all of that. I did not need the attention. I did not need everybody to pine away over poor Mom, because I knew that was feeding demons, and that was not bringing health to me. Oh, poor Mom. She needs attention. Well, if you think I do, come do something for me. Go wash the dishes. But don't do something that will cause me to have to feed that demon, because I'm going to reject it. Well, I stood my ground that time. And do you know what? That thing left me, I think, in about 2 or 3 days instead of 10 days. And I stopped getting all those colds. I only get them once in a great while. Once in a very great while. And then they almost stopped altogether. And so, see, it proves that when you see something coming up like that, when you start to stand against it and you start to say, look, I'm not going to let this have its way in me or on me, and you start applying the word and standing your ground, That's the battle right there, is standing your ground. But if you're an attention-getting person and you love the attention and you love to be coddled, it's going to be harder for you to get healed because you're thinking more of you than you are of the Word of God doing its work in you. You've got to let that go. You've got to get rid of self-pity and attention-getting and wanting anyone to make over you and to look to you like you need, oh, poor baby. You see, as long as you do that, you're going to stay the way you are. You got to decide, look, do I want to be healed or do I want all this attention that is actually empty attention? Well, that you're going to have to decide, what do you want more? Because it's not just going to be for healing. It's going to be other things. You got to let go of you being so important that you have to have all this attention. Because if you're doing that, you know, it might be hard for you to receive from God because you're too self-focused. Number nine. Tonight, wherever you are, if you can, turn in your Bible to Psalm 91, and I want you to read it along with me. If you know it by heart, quote it with me. I want to tell you a little story. One time a few years ago, I was out walking on our property. Now, you'd have to understand what I was doing. I love to get out there and walk. And I had printed out on white cardstock chapters of the Bible that I wanted to memorize. And so I would take them with me out on my walks. And as I walked, I would read them. With my finger, I'd hold my place and I'd look up. And I'd just keep, and then I'd go back to where I started and do it again until I could get it right. Get it right, get it right. I'd do it over and over. And I did this for months. And the thing is, I'd begin to see, I'd be repeating the same chapter over and over every day. And you'd say, well, doesn't that get monotonous after a while? Well, you know, you might think it would, but it really didn't. It really didn't get monotonous at all. In fact, I begin to see some things. Like different parts of the word, different words in that chapter would stand out to me that maybe the day before hadn't stood out to me. And then I'd get back in the house and the next day I'd be studying on that. And I mean, it just shows you that the Word of God is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces, you know, all the way through us, all the way. And so I just came to look forward to those times of walking out there and speaking the Word of God and quoting my chapters and memorizing them. So, quoting my chapter, as I was and still am, trying to memorize portions of the Bible. But this one was the one I was working on that day, and it was and it is one of my very favorites, is Psalm 91. This was one I enjoyed almost the most. Okay? So I was walking along and out loud quoting Psalm 91. And it happened simultaneously. I was just about to speak, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Only I had just spoken the part, they shall bear thee up in their hands. Right as I said that, I stepped on a stone, or my foot came up against a small hill, and I was about to step onto a stone. And I looked, and if I had done that the way I was moving and walking, If I just one slight move and I stepped the wrong way, even a small portion of a step, I would have stepped into a gopher hole. It could have been bad. At the very least, I could have broken my leg. And I was a good ways off from the house, so it would have been a good while before Pastor could find me. Do you see the power of the spoken word? Do you see how his word will not or ever return void? I may interrupt myself from time to time, but here goes. Let's read this together. Now, this is a promise for you and your family in the days to come. Of all the Psalms, David pens this one. This is an amazing psalm, and I have proven it time and again. It works. It works. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. I'm so sorry. And from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now, I want to go back to that one verse. It says here, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare or the trap of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. That can be evil plagues. And then it says, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You see that? These are all evil things. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Then he goes on to say, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. See, hear it again. There it is again, tread on serpents. God just said, we will do that. Upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So I want you to remember now that when you see these things coming upon the earth, you need to remember that God is a good God. And that, yeah, we may have to go through some things. And I don't want to hear it, but there will be martyrs. But I don't know who's going to be martyred and who's not. You know? I just know that if we're faithful to the Lord to the end, that's all that matters. And in the meantime, until that time comes, he will deliver us. And even when that time comes, he still will deliver us if we believe it. I mean, and what's the worst thing that could happen? We'll go home and be with Jesus. And that ain't all bad, is it? So I want to encourage you tonight with the word of God. Speak it. Hear his word. Listen to his word. Hearken diligently to his word. You know, I bought something years ago, and right now I've misplaced it, and I really wish I could find it. I don't know what I've done with it, but I went to christianbooks.com. And I ordered Alexander Scorby, the King James New Testament on CD. And I just would sometimes just put that on and just listen to it when I'm trying to go to sleep. Or sometimes I would just listen to it just because I like to hear the word like that. And I would recommend getting that. I mean, I put it on when I'm working in the kitchen. I put it on when I'm cleaning house. I put it on when I was in the bathtub. I mean, there are all kinds of things that you can be doing, and you want the, and you need the word, and say, well, you know, I'm not going to listen to the radio right now. I'm not going to listen to music right now. I'm going to listen to the word. And so put on the word, and it will encourage you. And when you go through it one after another, it does something for you. It gets inside of you. It's powerful, powerful. Because the Bible is our source for life and health. Do you believe this? If you don't, you need to. Because if you do, then as David used to tell us, not David, I'm sorry. I meant to say dad. My dad used to tell me, or myself and my brothers when we were children, when there was something he wanted us to go do, and he knew we wanted to go do it, he'd say, well, okay, well, get after it. The word of God works, and so I tell you, get after it. Go after it. Go for it. It is health to you. When spoken, it will deliver you from the evil diseases of the world. It will deliver all of us from the evil diseases of the world and the evil diseases of hell, because that's where they came from. Now, I want to pray for you right now. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to close out with last few scriptures here, but I just want to pray for you in a certain way. Just if you're there, wherever you are listening, just repeat this prayer after me. Say right now, in Jesus' name, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus that defeats the enemy's bite. I cover myself with the blood of the Lamb. And in Jesus' name, I repent of any and all sin. In Jesus' name, Lord, I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me from all sin and wickedness. and if you don't know Jesus, then pray this part with me too. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. and to come into my heart and to cleanse me and to make me brand new. I want to be born again. I want to belong to you forever. I want to walk with you and talk with you and have a relationship with you for the rest of my life. I renounce all sin and all darkness in my life, and I get out of agreement with it right now, and all demons, I'm out of agreement with you too, in Jesus' name. I'm just gonna do a little bit of deliverance here before I finish with the last passage here. And I'm going to call some of these things out. I'm going to just be led by the Lord as he tells me what to say. So I'm just going to call these out. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you for delivering your people. I thank you for delivering people that are listening tonight. I just get this impression there are people listening on the other side of the world. And they're going to be listening at a time other than right now, and maybe are right now listening in. So, Lord, I pray for them right now that this would be effective for them and all of us, everyone that listens, whether tonight or 10 years from now, if the Lord hadn't come back, in Jesus' name. Lord, I just speak healing and deliverance over your people in Jesus' name. So here goes. You spirit of infirmity, you come out right now in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. You spirit of infirmity, come out of the people right now. There's somebody out there with a spirit of infirmity that you get the sickness and you've gotten it over and over and over and over, just kind of like the one I mentioned earlier. And you are just at your wit's end, tired of getting that same thing over and over and over. Well, I bind you, devil. You come out of there. That is a spirit of infirmity. You need to renounce it and say, I renounce you, spirit of infirmity. Come out of me right now in Jesus' name. You do not belong in me, and I don't want you here anymore in Jesus' name. And it has to go in Jesus' name. So you renounce it, and you tell it that it has to go in Jesus' name. And another thing, while I'm on this spirits of infirmity can masquerade and, you know, anything that it repeats itself over and over, it's a spirit of infirmity. It's attacking you deliberately to weaken you in your mind and your spirit and your emotions and your body. So just say, I get out of agreement with that thing right now in Jesus' name. So I speak to you right now, and I say, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of infirmity, come out of these people that are listening and are participating in this deliverance right now. Come out. All spirit of infirmity, come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. All the way out. Come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name. Heart disease. Come out. All heart disease. You've had all kinds of symptoms, all kinds of things dealing with the heart for years. You know, chest pains and poor circulation and all kinds of different things, all because of the heart. Come out in Jesus' name. Come all the way out. Come all the way out. All the way out. Come 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 out. All heart disease. Congestive heart failure. Stroke. Come out. 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 Come out in Jesus' name. Come all the way out in Jesus' name. I bind you, you loose the people. You loose them right now and you come out in Jesus' name. You come all the way out. All the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. Diabetes. Come out, diabetes. You spirit that just attacks the people. Everything they eat, it seems like they have an attack of diabetes. Well, you got to stop saying that my diabetes, or I have diabetes, or this is what happens when you have diabetes. Do not, I repeat, do not speak to that thing anymore as though it's yours. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong in your body. It's from hell. That's where it came from, and that's where it needs to go back to. So in Jesus' name, diabetes, I bind you in Jesus' name. You loose the people right now, and just repeat after me. Come out of me right now in Jesus' name, all diabetes. I get out of agreement with you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I get out of agreement with you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I get out of agreement with you. Come out, all diabetes. All diabetes. Seems like there's one more the Lord wants me to. I keep feeling prompted, and then the area that's, it's physical, but it's not, is mental illness. Your spirit of mental illness, come out. Come out. Come out of the person right now. Mental illness, torment in the mind. Come out, that mental illness. It makes them feel they're going insane. It's mental illness and insanity. I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind you in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come all the way out. Come all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. If there's a young man out there listening and you just broke your leg and you're having a difficult time with your leg because you broke it and you don't think it's healing up right now, well, in Jesus' name, I speak to that leg and I say, leg, bones, you go all back into place the way God made you to do. Bones, you just move like, just right now in slow motion, I see them just moving and touching where they belong, where they were supposed to be. And then just like the Lord, this Holy Ghost glue, just gluing them back together and making them strong and well again. So, Lord, I just thank you, whoever that young man is that has that broken leg, that you are healing that broken leg right now in Jesus' name. And it will be a short time. He'll be running again and no problem. And he will give all the glory to God in Jesus' name, in Jesus' holy name. I'm going back to that. I just keep feeling the need to go back. Any mental illness that it's like a cloud over the mind. I saw an image one time that I used in the images that I post for the show. It showed this person from the waist up or the chest up, and it showed them, but their head was in a cloud, and it was about depression and this mental fog. So in Jesus' name, any of that depression, that mental disorder, that depression, usually this thing, when it's strong like that, it's usually something we inherit. We inherit that stuff from our parents. So in Jesus' name, I speak to you, mental illness. I speak to you in Jesus' name, all mental illness. I speak to you in Jesus' name, all insanity in Jesus' name, all depression. I speak to you. Now you come out of the person right now. Come out, depression. Come out, mental illness. Come out, fog, mental fog. Come out that in inherited insanity. Insanity is not like what it used to be, because the devil has learned he has to mask himself in today's world. So in Jesus' name, you insanity devil, I bind you. You come out in Jesus' name. You come all the way out in Jesus' name. You come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I just remembered, I want to pray for this man right now, I don't even know if he's listening, but I was told this morning about this dear man, Christian family, and has on a farm and was working on his farm out in this brutal cold. And I forget what the machinery was on. It fell a foot, and when it did, it broke his neck and his back. And supposedly, God was helped him because he's not paralyzed. So, but he is in traction, needless to say. Who knows? I'm not going to say he'll be there a while, because in Jesus' name, I'm going to pray for that man. And I pray in Jesus' name that that man, that your back would heal speedily. Your neck would heal speedily. You would have no lasting damage, not even so much as scar tissue to that back or neck. And when God heals this thing, you get up and go on like nothing ever happened. But you will give all the glory to the Lord, because it is He that is going to pull you up out of that sick bed and out of that traction. So, Father, I just see this like I did a while ago. I don't normally do this. This is, in fact, I don't know that I've ever done this on the radio. But, Lord, I just pray right now. I see that man, his every vertebrae, every place in his back and his neck, all the way from the bottom of his tailbone all the way up to his head and beyond. Lord, that you would just take those bones. I just see them slowly moving, going together. And you applying your Holy Ghost glue, your healing like a glue, and putting those bones all back together, putting the nerves and the ligaments and the tendons all back where they need to be. And Lord, I just pray for that man that you would relieve him. He wouldn't be in the pain that everybody else is that when that happens, that he won't be. That his time in traction will be very short-lived, Lord. He will come out of that thing in no time. He will come out of it. He will come up off that bed, and he will say, look what the Lord has done. Bless God. And, Lord, I thank you for him and his wife, encouraging them and their children, Lord, and that you've got this, and you're going to take care of them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you right now. What else do you have, Lord? Who else do you want? Does who else need some deliverance on these things? Let's see here. Let me think here. Let me just wait on the Lord a minute. There's someone living on the coast. I don't know what coast, whether it's in America or any, or where at in the world that you live on the coast. And you're always afraid. I mean, you, every little thing, you're afraid of it. Like my mother used to say, oh, he's afraid of his own shadow. Well, that would be you. You're afraid of your own shadow. You live on the coast, but you're afraid of everything. Everything scares you. Everything. You have no life. You have no joy because you live locked up in jail, bound up in fear. Well, the Lord wants to tell you this. Do not fear. Did you know that in the Strong's Concordance, there are 366 references to not fearing, not fearing, do not fear that, fear not, 366. Do you know what that means? That means there's one for every day of the year, including leap year. You are not to be one day that you have to be in fear. God already provided that. You do not have to have fear because, you know, think of it this way. With him in your life, if you turn to him and you trust him, just say, look, Lord, I am tired of being in that fear. Please deliver me. Take this fear away from me right now, Lord. I just surrender it. So in Jesus' name, whoever this person is living on the coast, I don't know where you are, what coast, it only matters to God. I'm going to pray for you and anyone else who's tormented with fear. Could be fear of loneliness, fear of rejection, fear of the unknown, fear of evil things, fear of some very bad people that you are in association with. In Jesus' name, spirit of fear, you spirits of fear that are tormenting the people, I bind you in Jesus' name. You spirit of fear, you come out of them now in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name. All spirit of fear, you come out. You come out in Jesus' name. I bind you. I bind you. You let go of the people in Jesus' name. I bind you. You let go of them now in Jesus' name. You come all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all fear. You come out. You come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name, all the way out, all fear, all torment in Jesus' name. All torment, you come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All torment, you come out. All that tormenting spirit in the mind that torments you and makes you afraid all the time. Makes you afraid to go outside and sit on the porch. Makes you afraid to go walk outside on your property or down to the store and back. Or makes you afraid to walk across the parking lot of a grocery store. That's bondage. That's the devil. Let that thing go. You don't need that. And I know you don't want it. So in Jesus' name, bondage to fear, bondage to mental illness and torment, you come out now in Jesus' name. Come all the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. Okay, so I have one last passage that I want to read tonight. And I want to read this one to you. And then I want to talk a little bit about it. And then we will close in prayer and I'll say goodnight. It's Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 23. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. See, there's that word again. For out of it are the issues of life. Out of what? Where are the issues of life? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, are the issues of life. So, he said, incline your ear unto the Lord's sayings. And then he says, don't let them depart from your eyes. In other words, read them often. Read them over and over. They will become friends to you. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You know, I want to insert this before I go on that those next two verses again. My Bible is a friend, and I have several of them, and they are like, I pick them up with, I just love them. When I pick them up, it's like, Lord, here's one of the places I'm going to meet you right now, and I just love the Word of God. It's where I meet with him. And see, you need to come to that. We all do. We all need to be where we love the Word of God more than anything, more than anyone. It's okay to love your husband. It's okay to love your wife. But the Word of God, you need to love it more. They can't save you. They can't rescue you, especially if you find yourself in a situation and you're not with them, or, you know, you're struggling with something, they can be there to hold your hand, but they can't deliver you. You need to make the Bible your friend. It needs to become your best friend. I mean, to me, nothing is more joyful than to sit there and study my Bible. I treasure it. And when you treasure the Word of God, honestly, He sees your love for His Word. It will move you forward in your walk of faith, believe me. For they are life unto those that find them. What is? What's life? Attend to my words. The words of the Lord are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Then it says, keep thy heart with all diligence. In other words, you watch over your heart. You watch over your emotions. You don't let the enemy get a hold there and insert his lies and make you go a different direction because, well, I thought no, that you guard your heart. Don't let lies and negativity come in. Just because, you know, somebody could have hurt you a long time ago, and then what happens? Well, now you've, for the rest of your life, you've made up your mind a certain way about them. Well, one thing, if you forgive them, you never know what God will do. And two, many times through the years, that person can change and serve God, and they're not that same person anymore. So don't let things that happen, the bites of the serpent, so to speak, get in your heart. Don't do it. Keep your heart with all diligence. Diligence means, just say it this way, keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep your heart fixed on the Word of God day after day after day. Why? Because for out of it are the issues of life. Out of it will show us the things in the Word. But, you know, it's like a bank. You can't go get money out of the bank if you don't have it already in there. You can't draw on the Word of God unless you start storing it up. You got to store it up. And I mean, you know, sometimes you got to force feed yourself, and sometimes you can't get enough. Either way, just eat and eat and eat and eat. You can never eat too much of the Word of God. So I have enjoyed sharing some of my personal study notes on healing with you tonight. I pray they will help you and inspire you to go deeper into God's Word and to begin to use these words as weapons against the serpent's bite, as weapons against the bites and poison and venom of serpents and demons. And remember to have God's Word in your heart, to store it up year after year. I'm not talking day after day, but year after year, you will have a mighty arsenal. And the next time the enemy comes to bug you and to pester you, nope, you can pull this one out, and he throws one and you go, nope. You pull this one out, he throws another one. Nope. You pull that one out. And finally, he realizes in that one area, he's not going to win. And so he'll go off, and for a while you have a little peace, but there'll be something else. But just because he goes off and you get freedom that time, that's no time to let up. In fact, it's time to get more. Because, you know, I used to think people were nuts when they'd say, well, there's more of God. Well, God's already given us all that we're going to have. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? The God that made the whole universe, the big, great, big God, you mean you got all of him you're ever going to get? I don't think so. We've only just tasted. Even David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. We've only had a taste. Amen? Amen. So until next time, let's stay in God's Word. God is a good God, and He loves you and me. So I'm going to close in prayer right now. And then we'll end this with a song. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for all the listening audience out there, the brothers and sisters right now. I pray for them right now, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that you would encourage each and every one of them, that you would bless them, that they would get into the Word of God, that you would, if they don't have a Bible, that, Lord, I pray right now that you would send someone to them and give them a new Bible. Lord, not long ago, I was wanting a particular Bible, and I just thought it to myself. I was just thinking about it and thinking I'd like to have that, and I didn't tell anybody. I just got in conversation with a dear friend, and she told me about that Bible that she had, and that was the very one I wanted. But I said, yeah, that sounds nice. That would be nice. And that's all I said. And, Lord, I just thank you that it was just like a few days, I think, after my birthday, this expensive Bible, the very one I wanted, arrived in the mail. I told you about it, and that was it. So, Lord, people, if they want a Bible, Lord, I pray right now you give them one. And I don't mean something out of a thrift store, but give them a brand new Bible. Everybody here that needs a brand new Bible, Lord, I pray right now you would give it to them in Jesus' name. I just thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for ministering to your people right now. And that between now and the next time we get together on here, that you will bring them into levels of maturity in Christ Jesus and in the Word that they have never experienced. And it will cause them to walk a different way, be a different person, and to be a blessing to people that they never thought they could be before. For it's not about us, Lord. It is about you. It is about what you have for your plan on this earth. So I just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name for all you've done. And I give you praise for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good night, everyone. Let's see what we can end this in the show with tonight. Love you guys. Talk to you next time.
Lord, I am the work of your hand. I was not and now I am. Alive, living and breathing, you spoke and gave me life. You searched the depths of my soul. There is nothing you don't know. You love me for who I am. My whole life is in your plan. I am yours from the beginning. I am yours. I am yours forever. I am yours. Everything I have and everything nothing is my own, it all belongs to you. I want to tell you how much you mean to me. I lay down my life and worship you forever. I am yours. I am yours. magnify your name. Help me to believe, help me to obey, and I will follow you. I want to bring glory to you, Lord. Glorify your name. Help me to believe, help me to obey, and I will follow you. I will follow. Lord, I am the work of your hands. I was not and now I am. Alive, living and breathing. You spoke and gave me life. Search the depths of my soul. There is nothing you don't know. You love me for who I am. My whole life is in your plan.
Your
I am yours from the beginning. I am yours.
I am yours.
I am yours forever. I am yours.
I am yours.
I am yours from the beginning. I am yours. I am yours.
Well, good night.